It is Jared and the GM. We are live at Bridgestone Arena. Preds tonight, game one. I'll say this. Like, when it's a series like with a Winnipeg or somebody like that, game one is exciting because you look at it like, okay, let's drop the puck, let's get the baby going, let's, you know, all that stuff. Game one in this series has a different feel for me where it's kind of like a, okay, just go win game one so that I can watch these two teams play so that I know that you're better than Dallas. You know, just go win game one so I know there won't be some kind of crisis that we'll have to deal with tomorrow on the radio. Just go win game one tonight. You know, just go win. Just make it easier for everybody. But it's not going to be easy. This is supposed to be a defensive series. Ben Bishop may be the best goalie in the league this season, although he is often injured. But the games that you've played with Dallas have been very defense and goalie oriented. So with that being said, Floyd, the Preds' defense has really tightened up over the last couple of weeks, including Crispy coming on the show Monday saying the big difference is how well they're playing defensively. Are you more worried about the Preds' defense in this series and that they don't have any of the lapses that we've seen them have at times, PK and Ryan Ellis, or are you more worried about their offense and wondering how they're going to score goals? You know Dallas is not going to let the Jofa line be the reason that they don't win this series. Like, they're not going to let the Jofa line have 10 goals in four games. So you know they're going to focus in on them. Are you worried about the Preds' ability to score more than you're worried about the ability to stop Dallas from scoring? Or is it more offense or defense if you had to say you were more worried or focused on?
I'm worried about the ability to score. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's my biggest concern. Because, I mean, I agree with you. You know, they're going to take the Jofa line away, you know, as best they can. And we're going to try to take their first group away as best we can. And I think, you know, where it goes from there will largely determine the game unless secondary scoring comes along. And I think we're both hoping for that to happen. But you know, I mean, we've seen an improvement on our side. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure there's a great deal of difference on theirs. But, I mean, I think I feel like our secondary scoring maybe has a chance to really be a factor. And if that's the case, then, you know, you've got a much, much better chance. I don't, you know, I mean, our defense has improved. And yet it's still got a ways to go now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got a couple of really highly paid quality players that are not playing the way they should be playing.
Well, like, a kid shouldn't come straight out of college, no matter how talented he is, suit up in game one of the playoffs. But we're at this point that they are putting the college kid in the lineup in game one of the playoffs because the other guys have been so bad.
And that tells you, you know, you can't. But I mean, you know, we've had – I mean, PK for a while was struggling. Maybe that was all due to the injury. You know, maybe the real PK is coming along now. But, I mean, Ellis has been struggling. I mean, it's just not the same group that it has been. And I think that's, you know, a little bit of a concern.
I've told you consistently that I'm not worried about PK Subban until he goes out and does not play well in the playoffs. Then I will have a worry. He has always been a turn-it-on, turn-it-off guy. As much as you and a lot of other people don't like that, he has been able to do that in his career. I'm really worried about the Dallas Stars' firepower. I'm really worried about Ben and Sagan and those kind of guys. And maybe it's one of those things where you don't score early and then they get a couple and then you're chasing the game, so you're pinching down and now they're getting breakaways in your zone and you're just, you know, all hands on deck, you're in trouble. But I don't really worry about defense. I worry about the secondary scoring and the power play. If the secondary scoring and the power play are at least just decent in this series, I feel very comfortable that you will win.
How do you define decent for secondary scoring?
I mean, I don't know like what the goals per game average would be, but well, I mean, if you're getting like one from Yarncroke one night and then one from Smith and one from Sissons, and if those guys are scoring for you on top of the two you get from Arvidsson, that'd feel pretty good.
Yeah, I wish you could count on two from Arvidsson.
You got to get two from somewhere.
Yeah, but I mean,
You don't trust Arvidsson in the playoffs, do you?
Well, I mean, he needs to prove it. But beyond that, I mean, scoring two, you know, in the playoffs, I mean, that's not easy to
do. Well, I'm just talking about the whole first line.
Yeah.
Like, if you get two out of the first line a game, if you average two out of the first line a game, and then you get, like, one or two from your secondary scoring, I feel good.
If you get three, you should feel good. I mean, I think three is probably the magic number. If you get, I mean, and it may be true on both sides. It may be true, you know, the first team to three and that can hold it, they may end up winning a bunch of these games.
Predators, of their three wins against Dallas this year, two of them have involved the Preds scoring five goals. So I don't know exactly what I make of that, but I do make something of that. And maybe that's, you know, I was talking to Chris Mason today about Ben Bishop, and he was talking to me, you know, he's had a great season, but his career numbers against the Predators aren't very good. And I'm thinking to myself, look, they put five on Ben Bishop when they played him in November, the only time I think they played him this year. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot now, but it does mean that they're capable of putting five on Ben Bishop. So I think that that's at least worth discussing. Let's go back to your phones. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Jared is going to kick us off this hour here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Jared.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
I'm doing it.
What are you doing?
Do I make you horny, baby?
Oh, goodness. So I think it's I feel like Mike Francesa now. I feel like accomplished. But I think, I don't even know. I don't even know how to follow that up. I always think it's cool that, like, this is my theory on haters, right? Not that this guy's a hater. I mean, this guy's just a loser. But my theory on haters is, you only have haters if you are somebody. You know, like the radio shows that nobody listens to or nobody cares about, they don't have haters because nobody knows who they are. And so that's why I look at that, you know, us, and I'm like, man, you know, I got a lot of haters, but that's because people listen to the show. Now that, I mean, that's just, you know. And Mike Francesa, I mean, I like that. Tonight, what do you think is probably the number one thing that matters tonight in this game between the Preds and the Stars? Like, the number one thing that matters.
The number one thing that matters.
Because Peter Laviolette has said a lot of people ask him questions, and his answer on a lot of things is that it doesn't matter. You know, the what happened 3 years ago in a playoff series against
Benson. Yeah, none of that matters.
Doesn't matter.
I don't worry about that. I mean, I would guess that, you know, the Joe Faline finds a way to get their couple of two, three goals. And I don't know how they're going to do that, but, I mean, that's what –
You look at, I mean, I would just say this about Dallas. I think you're buying too much into their defense and how good they are defensively. They are not the 85 Bears of hockey. They are not, you know, I'm not that worried about
them. Every bit as good as we are.
Not really.
Every bit as good as we are.
They don't have the
count. The goalie is better.
He's better this season in the games he's playing.
Well, guess what?
But over his career.
We're playing this season.
But over his career.
We don't care about the
career. No.
We are playing tonight.
Ian, back me up on this.
We are playing tonight.
Floyd cannot point to this season as being the reason there when Saros at one point had much better stats than Pekka did, and you said Pekka's career outweighs what's going on this season.
Well, that's obvious.
But now it doesn't.
Saros doesn't have a career.
Now we can't use these lines right here. Now we can't say that Pekka's career of being significantly better than Ben Bishop doesn't outweigh.
No. We're playing tonight. I'm just worried about tonight.
Now, you're going opposite your usual argument.
Yeah.
You know, I got you. Yes.
Always adjust and improvise. That's it. I mean, for you, logic logic has no purpose in life.
Zero.
So this
See,
is,
I, yeah, I'm this not worried is, about the PowerPoint.
You care less about what makes sense and logic than anybody I've ever
I think
known.
There's a legitimate chance that the Predators power good. Play comes through.
Yes.
The only thing that I'm not like at least – I mean, I'm worried about a lot of stuff, as Hal Gill – we'll have him on later today. Hal will tell you I'm worried about a lot of stuff. The one thing that – you know, the difference between hoping and expecting. The one thing that I think a lot of people are hoping for that I have zero faith in is that Turris is going to do something, that Turris is actually going to produce. I have no faith. Forget him. Just I don't even think about it. Other than that, I mean, I'm pretty optimistic the power play is going to be successful. I think they're going to score goals, especially on that second line, Bonino's line. I'm optimistic the kid on defense is going to be okay. And I'm optimistic Pekka's not going to poop his pants. I mean, I feel pretty good about all those things, honestly. So, again, what logic do you have that tells you the power play is going to be a factor in this series in your favor? I have no logic for that. So, there's that. More of your phone, 615-737-1025. Plus, I asked the question, what really matters? Well, I asked Peter LaViolette, what really matters at 8:30 tonight? We'll see what he had to say. We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5. Hey, let me tell you about Rocking the Gold. Again, that promotion that we are doing today, and we are so excited for it. So be sure to ESPN 102.5 The Game has your chance to win a pair of tickets to Round 1, Game 1 tonight. Send us a photo via Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram of you showing your Preds pride, and make sure to tag us and use the hashtag RockTheGold. Later on today, listen during the 5 o'clock hour for your name to be called out on the air. When your name is called, you will have 10 minutes and 25 seconds to call us at 615-737-1025 to win a pair of tickets to Round 1, Game 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs to cheer on the Preds tonight against the Dallas Stars. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, is streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Dallas has, you know, stats-wise, not a bunch of great scoring. They're not a great scoring team, but they have guys like Ben and Sagan, and Zuccarello's going to be back in the lineup. What do you think of their offensive firepower?
As a player, and a hockey fan, I think it's impressive. Really good players, and, they seem to play a little bit of a different type of hockey, you know, a little bit more defensive, I guess, if you will. But they still have that firepower have a lot of respect towards those guys. They can make you pay at any time, and good shooters and good playmakers. So you gotta be ready when they are on the ice.
That was Pekka earlier today on the Dallas Stars and their firepower. So Peter LaViolette today, he always talks about things that don't matter. You know, when you drop the puck on the game. How many times, when you were GM, would you get asked questions that just have nothing to do with anything that matters for that time that they're talking to you about?
Most of.
Like, now 2 years ago, Floyd, when you drafted Tyrone Calico, what did you see there that would make you think about the wide receivers in this draft?
Yeah, that's, but you have to keep in mind the guys asking the questions. You know, the guys asking the questions are guys that rely on history. I mean, they don't have, usually don't have the knowledge to look at what's out there in front and compare and contrast and, here's where you should worry. So what do? You ask about what things happened in the past, or you ask about, things that could happen that really have no effect or no determination of the game at all. But I think that's generally true.
So I asked him today what matters, because a lot of the times it's about what doesn't matter. I asked him what matters tonight at 8:30. This is what Peter LaViolette said.
The actual results from years past don't matter. Our group's going to have to make their way tonight. We talk about our preparation. We talk about what we need to do, how we need to play, the identity in which we want to play with. We pre-scout Dallas. We do the work. We try to get the players the information. It was a couple of good days of preparation. And then we get to go play the game and see where we're at. And from there, you make small adjustments to whatever it might be, your system or your defense or your offense or your line combinations, whatever it is. And as the series plays out, you make adjustments. But it's exciting because, today's game one. We've worked hard to get to this point. Should never be taken for granted that you're going to make the playoffs. You got to work for it over 82 games, and when you get there, it's really exciting for our players, for our organization, for our fan base. We're really excited to get going.
The thing that kills me, and we won't know this until they get out on the ice, is what are those things that they need to do tonight? He'll never tell you.
But that's what I want. The question: what did he give you? How would he answer you with? He answered you with,
"Oh no, that was a good
okay,
answer.
We prepared all during the week, and we feel like preparation is really going to be important. And we're going to have to go out there, and we're going to have to play well, and we're going to have to execute, and we're going to have to make some in-the-game adjustments, and we're going to, and if we do, and I mean, we went through a whole week of practice. You know, you ask him about what matters, and he told you about practice, and every we go, oh, okay, let's go. You know, ready, break.
But it's funny because it's like when you ask a question to a coach, that's like, so what are you going to – I'm just waiting for the day that somebody like Mike Vrabel says, you know, coach, how do you stop A.J. Green? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to drop the safety, and then we're going to rotate over, and we're going to go with four DBs on the field at one time, and then we're going to go six DBs, and then we're going to put two corners on him. And then, but they would never say that. So right. I wonder what Peter's talking about when he says, we got to do the things that we've talked about doing. To me, I think that means get the puck into their zone, cycle it through, keep them in the Dallas zone, and then the other thing is do not let those guys just dance through the neutral zone. If those guys are going to get in your zone, make them earn it. Don't just let them just go ahead and dump the puck and go right ahead and go get into your zone. Let's go back to your phones as promised. Margaret is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Margaret? Margaret.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi, I love your show.
Thank you.
The thing I think they need to concentrate on, or one of the most important things, is they need two levels of defense. I can't remember what game it was, but that wonderful game where the defense just played beautifully in front of Soros, and it was like a two levels of defense. They didn't let anything through, and then UC was just, he stopped everything. So I think they can't get anything to the net. The defense has to be there, and then also the goalie. So it's like two levels of defense is what I think.
Interesting thought. Floyd, thank you for your call, Margaret.
I would agree. I mean, I think we would all agree. They're going to have to play good defense in front of Pekka, and Pekka's going to have to do a great job of keeping the puck from going in the net.
Let's go to T-Man, who's up next. Thank you for calling. What's up, T-Man?
I'm the pee-pee-poo-poo man. I'm the pee-pee.
Thanks for your call. I got to tell you, man, we are.
You brought him in. You brought him in.
I did. We got to shut off the phones. We gotta shut off the phones.
This is the best.
The callers today have, you know, it just hasn't been an A-plus effort. I will say this, and I was texting Robbie Stanley about it. I was like, when things like that happen, like those things only happen to the big-time people. Like it happens to Mike Francesa in New York all the time, and he's like as big-time as you can get. And so when that happens to our show, I'm kind of like, man, I'm kind of like Mike Francesa. Like, that's kind of cool. Like, so I get it kind of – I shouldn't get excited, but I kind of do.
Mike Francesa.
What? What?
Nothing.
You know what I do? What I was thinking about, speaking of Francesa, is whenever the Rangers would be in the playoffs, the only time he'd ever talk about hockey is he'd be like, the Rangers are in the playoffs today. We'll have our usual hockey guest on. Pierre going to join the show later today. And, like, they would, like, have him and the coach on, and that's, like, the extent of the hockey talk Mike Francesa would do. And then I think about here in little old Nashville, we do 4 hours a day, and the phone lines just blow up, and everybody wants to talk it, and so on and so forth. By the way, the press conference, at some point we will break down the things Peter Laviolette said today. What I find to be so interesting was the fact that at the press conference today, I asked basically every question. And Joe Retro got, you know, was getting on me on Twitter, and I could tell some people probably didn't like that. But my whole thing is this. If that's going to happen, like if we go to the press conference and I ask every question, should we not just run the entire press conference as Jared Stillman's exclusive one-on-one with Peter Laviolette? Because it is kind of an exclusive one-on-one. It's just that we just have an audience for the one-on-one. If I'm the one asking all the questions.
You're delusional.
It's like Dateline.
It's like
2020.
You know, those other people have been there asking questions for weeks. You show up once a week or whatever, and you come out with all these questions.
Morton, you show up.
They just let you go. I have never shown up.
And I'm going to guess that's a trend that will continue.
Yes, I would say.
But I show up, and I show up when, you know, they don't have practice during the show. That's when I show up. Jared and the GM live at Bridgestone Arena. Ryan Porth, host of Preds Insiders. I'm going to guess there is a special edition of Preds Insiders tonight coming up after Jared and the GM because of the late puck drop. So Ryan Porth is going to join
us. Extra long. This must be a long one.
No, it'd be a short one.
What time's it going to get started?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It would be long because pregame is starting at 7:30.
Yeah.
You know, mountain times, there's so much going on. 615-737-1025. Ryan Porth will join us next. We're live from Bridgestone Arena. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025, the game.
When it comes to Dallas, what do they do that worries you?
I mean, it's just like any team in our division. They're a fast, physical team and definitely has some top-end skill as well. So it's going to be a good challenge.
Let me say this for Philip Forsberg's sake. Like any team in the division, I wish they were playing Minnesota tonight, not Dallas in game one of the playoffs. Or, I don't know, Chicago, I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs, even though they didn't have a great season. Ryan Porth is with us, host of Preds Insider. So you heard what Forsberg said right there. What worries you about the Dallas Stars going into game one tonight?
So the more I look into the goaltending matchup of this series and Ben Bishop's numbers and his career numbers in the postseason, the number one thing that worries me about this Dallas Stars team is that they might have a hot goaltender. And sometimes a hot goaltender can be the greatest equalizer a team can have. Mm-hmm. When you look back to the 2010 playoffs, you had the President's Trophy winning Washington Capitals in the first round against the Montreal Canadiens, who had a hot goaltender in Yaroslav Halak with the Montreal Canadiens, and Montreal beats them. After a fantastic regular season, Montreal wins because Halak stole the series. So we've seen that before with the Preds when they faced off against Phoenix, now Arizona, when Mike Smith was lights out in that five-game series for the Coyotes in round two back in 2012. And I kind of think this series, style-wise, might be a lot like that one, which was very low scoring and goals came at a premium. And the way Ben Bishop is playing, and you look at his career numbers in the playoffs and you put them up against Pecorine's career numbers in the playoffs, you're kind of thinking, you know, the Preds probably need to get to him early in this series and not let him dominate game one and get into a groove and get in their heads a little bit.
So you're worried about the goalie stealing the series, basically?
Yeah.
I think that's a fair thing to worry about.
Not the series, but multiple games maybe, yeah.
So I think that that's a fair thing to worry about. I just feel like shouldn't the Predators be the team that steals series with their goalie? Like, shouldn't that be the Preds who do that? Not the other way around. I mean, Ben Bishop has had a nice little career. He is a good player. But, man, I would be disappointed if Dallas's defense is so tight in this series that the Predators can't, I mean, with the firepower they supposedly have, can't keep him from stealing your series.
I mean, you would think so. But anything can happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Like, isn't that the dice roll, though, thing? I mean, by you saying goalie stealing the series, isn't that kind of like the, hey, you know, let's just get into playoffs and see if the goalie can steal the series and then we'll go from – I mean, that's like the Hail Mary kind of thing, right?
I mean, look at Ben Bishop's playoff numbers. 36 playoff games, 21-13 record, 2.09 goals against average with five shutouts and a .927 save percentage. In 83 playoff games, Pecorine has five shutouts. He's played almost 50 more playoff games than Ben Bishop, and Ben Bishop has as many career shutouts in the playoffs. Okay. And Pecorine's career goals against in the playoffs is 2.45 and a .915 save percentage.
Okay, now you have
so
me a little more.
This is a goaltender in Ben Bishop who has played a lot of playoff hockey. He took the Tampa Bay Lightning to the Stanley Cup Final in 2015. He took the Lightning almost to the Stanley Cup Final in 2016. He got hurt in the Eastern Conference Final against Pittsburgh in game one of that series. I mean, there's only been one playoff series him alone has ever lost, and that's the Stanley Cup Final against the Hawks. in 2015. So I'm not saying that Ben Bishop is going to steal this series, but you ask me what is the number one thing you worry about. When you look at the Dallas Stars and how much they struggle offensively, but if you have a goaltender that can keep the Preds down on the scoreboard to one or two goals a game, you have a shot in this series if you're the Dallas Stars.
Who do you like better, Ryan? Their scoring group, first line, whatever secondary scoring, not every guy on the ice. I don't care. I mean,
so what you're saying is group of forwards and offense from defense.
Yeah, who do you like better, their group versus Pekka or our group versus Bishop?
I would probably say the Preds group against Ben Bishop, because despite everything that I just said, Ben Bishop has struggled mightily in his career against Nashville in the regular season. He's played 9 career regular season games against the Preds, and he's only won 2 of them. And he has an .877 save percentage in those 9 games, which are not good numbers at all. So I would say the Preds might have a tick better advantage because of that. But you look at the Preds all the time in Dallas, they've always struggled. So, I mean, you're splitting hairs with some of these stats of, okay, this team has an advantage here, but the other team has an advantage there.
Okay, what about our defense and the goalie versus their defense and the goalie?
So you're saying the Preds defensive group against the Stars defensive group.
Got to go Preds.
I would go Preds. I would go Preds because despite Dallas having the number – everybody's talking about how Dallas has the number 2 goals against per game in the National Hockey League, right? Which
right.
You don't want to take anything away from that. The Preds are tied for 3rd. And there's something to be said for that and the way they have been playing defensively as a team in the last 11 games. Yes, they had a couple clunkers in there, most notably at Winnipeg on March 23rd. But most of the time in those 11 games, they have been playing rock solid defensively, and Pecorine has been playing rock solid between the pipes. So I would go Nashville with that.
Ryan Porth is with us. I'm more worried about the forwards for Dallas. I think everybody looks at Dallas and they say, you know, look at these stats and how they don't score a bunch and how they don't. And I just look at the guys they have, Sagan and Ben, who are all-stars almost every year. Radulov, who had a bunch of points this season.
Wait, whoa. Now, yesterday, you weren't worried about Alexander Radulov when I was over there at Burger Republic. I had to text you that he had 70 points in 72 games this year.
I put him third.
And you're like,
I put him third.
What has he done in his career? And now you're worried about him.
No, I'm using him as an example. So I throw him in there. And then, you know, the Zuccarello edition, which – I mean, it looks like in the 2 games that Zuccarello played for Dallas, it looked like he had an impact. He did more in like a game and a half than Mikhail Granlund has done since being acquired and played in, 20 games?
I would say he's done more than what Wayne Simmons has done.
Now, he's gotten back and gotten healthy.
Zuccarello?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
He is a sneaky, really good player, and he's a player that – if he had been available on trade deadline day, I would have expected David Poile to at least have conversations with the New York Rangers about Zuccarello. Even though he doesn't have a lot of size, he's pint-sized. He's probably 5'9", 5'10", if that. He might be 5'8". But he's just a really shifty, sneaky player that can really contribute on a second line, which we saw last year here in Nashville, a player on the second line in the second round
make a
big difference in Paul Stastny in Winnipeg.
Now, they traded for him. He came, got there.
Played one game.
Played like 2 games. Okay.
One game.
Then he was hurt.
At the end of the second period of his debut with the Stars, he broke his arm blocking a shot.
All right.
And then he's played 1 game since then, knocked off the rust, and then they said, you know, we're not going to risk any injury here in these last couple games. We're in the playoffs. You'll be in there for the playoffs.
And so he's still done more than Granlund and Simmons. But, I mean, that.
In 2 games?
those are good players. Those are legit goal-scoring players. And that's why I'm like, everyone acts like Dallas doesn't score. I'm like, Dallas could put 4 on you because those guys could have 2 each. Like, I'm worried about Dallas's offensive
fire. Well, and look at the season series between these 2 teams. It was very close. Every game was close. You look at the 2 of the 3 wins that the Preds had went to overtime. The other one was tooth and nail until the 3rd period when the Preds pulled away with Roman Josi back in late February. And then the 2 Stars wins, they really buckled down defensively and held the Preds to 1 goal combined in those 2 wins for Dallas. So you know, I read some stuff on The Athletic where, you know, they had a series preview for this for Preds Stars, and they were like, the Preds could win this in five. The highest likelihood of this series is Preds in five, and I'm sitting there like, I just don't see that unless Pecorine is lights out and they can get to Ben Bishop, or Ben Bishop gets hurt and Hudobin isn't as good as he was in the playoffs.
Us.
Right, in the playoffs as he was against the Preds in the regular season.
I think it could be five. I just think it would be a close five where, like, you walk out of – you get out of the series, you win in five, or you win in four, you win like that. But three of those games are in overtime. I want to say L.A. and Vegas did that last year where, like, every game was 2-1 or 1-0. And, like, two of them went to overtime, but Vegas swept.
But
LA.
You had their number when push came to shove, right?
Yes.
Kind of like that Phoenix series back in 2012.
Yes.
I mean, those games were close. One of them went to overtime.
Game one was an overtime loss. Game three was a ref's call on a video review.
Game four
was a video
right.
review.
That was 1-0.
You know, other than, like, those were – you flip those two and you win the series.
Right.
Like, that's kind of my thing with this is – I think they're going to be close games. I just think the Predators are going to pull them out because I think the Predators, at the end of the day, have a better roster than Dallas.
I would 100% agree with that. And I also agree with your statement earlier in the show saying that the power play is going to be better in the playoffs than it was in the regular season.
Thank you.
It can only go up, guys. It's the worst in the league.
All you need is
not true. If you
get,
if that's you not
get
true.
All you
anything.
Need is to be.
It could go from 12 to 11, and that would be getting worse. So it can technically get worse.
Yeah, I mean, it can only get. When you're 31 out of 31, you can only improve. It's the way it works.
Well, that's like if we had if you had like 10 people, right, and you were the fattest person at 400 pounds. Like, you can still be 405 pounds. There's just nobody in the group who's over 400 pounds.
Well, yeah, but because I lose 5 pounds and now I move into third from the bottom, I mean, that's nothing to be thrilled about. Hey, I'm only 395 now. Way to go.
But wouldn't that make you a little bit healthier?
No.
Yes, it would.
395 instead of 400.
Yes. Oh, no. There is a hypertension difference.
That's skipping lunch.
We're going to get in trouble. Jared and the GM. All right, let's get your phones for Ryan. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 as we are live out here from Bridgestone Arena tonight. Game number one at 8:30 right here on ESPN 1025. The game, Ryan has his X Factor in the series. And he is going to tell us who that X Factor is next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 1025. The game.
Especially teams always factors into things. I think so. Our power play is going to have to be sharp. Their penalty killers are good. The best penalty killer oftentimes is the goaltender. And so when a penalty kill is soaring, you often see the goaltender's numbers soaring on that penalty kill with regard to save percentage. And so we know that they've got good goaltending. We know that they've got good penalty killers. It's a challenge for our power play, a good challenge.
That was Peter Laviolette today. Ryan Porth is with us. Both Ryan and I believe that the Predators' power play will be serviceable. Will be serviceable in this series against the Dallas Stars, and Floyd is totally anti that.
Well, that's all you need it to be. That is seriously all you need it to be. Because
I just need my kicker to make a couple kicks. I don't need him to make every kick.
Back in 2017.
Like Steven Gostkowski. Just make me some kicks.
Back in 2017, 2 years ago, on the way to the Stanley Cup Final, it wasn't a great power play. But it scored some big goals along the way. I think it was ranked 7th or 8th in the National Hockey League in the postseason. I mean, middle of the pack, but got the job done. That power play unit won them some games in the third period.
That's a long way from 31.
That's also 7 or 8 out of 16.
Oh, yes. That's fine.
In the playoffs. So,
middle of the pack. Again, if you just – and I don't even think about where they stood in the league at 31st, which is dead last. I think about it being like if you go from 12% to 16%, that may be enough. That little jolt may be enough.
It could be.
It's not the 30% that, you know, Tampa Bay is, but it's still, you know, it's a little push.
Now, traditionally, you're going to see power play percentages go down in the playoffs just overall.
Better
so,
players, better goalies,
so
more focus.
A 16 to 20% power play is probably going to be get you farther in the playoffs than a 16-20% power play in the regular season.
Okay, there
probably,
we go.
Probably less penalties.
Less penalties, yeah. better, more focused penalty kill units in the postseason.
And than, I think probably than, the refs let them play a little bit too.
Yeah,
I believe in the power play for whatever reason. Now, Ryan has his X factors in this series, so Ryan, start us off with your X factors. Give us your first X factor.
All right, first X factor in this series. Let's start with the Dallas Stars. I'm going to say Miro Heiskanen, their rookie defenseman who is on the second pair. Now, he is being relied upon a lot more than the Preds rely upon Dante Fabbro. I mean, Heiskanen logs over 23 minutes a night. He is really smart offensively. He had 33 points, which is pretty good for a rookie defenseman in the National Hockey League. But he's also in his first Stanley Cup playoff. And he's on a second pair with Roman Polak, who is a human traffic cone out there on the ice. He always looks like he's skating in quicksand. Now, he's very good defensively, but you can skate beyond him. If Heiskanen has some blunders in the neutral zone or in the offensive zone and you're leaving Polak out to dry with some odd man opportunities, then I think the Preds can pounce on that defensive pair. If Heiskanen is playing really smart and not like he's playing in his first postseason, I think that can make a difference for Dallas both offensively and defensively.
Okay, give us the Preds X factor.
The Preds X factor, I think you have to look at Kyle Turris.
No. No.
I did that just for you.
No.
Just for you, Jared.
Nope.
The X factor, Kyle Turris.
Because if Kyle Turris brings anything that resembles his B game or his A game,
you'll win the cup.
You might. I mean, Kyle Turris has been a very capable center in his career who's having an awful season. If he can resemble some of that of what we've seen in previous A postseasons, not in Nashville, and previous regular seasons, and you can get Granlund and Smith going offensively, and that line can continue to build upon what they built in these last three regular season games, I think you're looking at a line that can make a difference when everyone's going to be focused on that Jofa line. So I say Kyle Turris specifically, but that line as a whole, Granlund, Turris, and Smith, if they are playing well enough where, A, they're generating chances, and, B, they're not forcing Peter Laviolette to switch things up mid-series, I think you're going to come out winning this series.
Okay, now Ryan Porth with us. Who's your real X factor for the Preds?
Tyle Kurris.
There's no way Kyle's not going to do anything. He's not going to do anything. We just have to come to grips with what it is. If he does something, it will be a Christmas miracle. Now, if Callie Yarncroak gets bumped up into his spot and is your X factor, okay. But, I mean, how long do we have to wait for Kyle Turris to do something that resembles anything positive before we can sit there and just say, hey, he is what he is and he ain't very good?
Well, then I'll give you another X factor on that line.
Mikhail Granlund. Who has also done nothing so far. But I actually believe Granlund will do something.
Do you see, and Jared's talked about this for a while, that second line giving up time to the third line and them almost switching roles?
The closer the game is in the third period, yes.
Who has more ice time tonight?
I think that third line, the Sisson, Bonilla, Watson line, could have equal ice time this series as Granlund, Turris, and Smith.
Oh, I think
because of how defensive this is going to be and how tightly contested it's going to be. I mean, we saw at the end of the Chicago game, with a one-goal lead before the empty netter, Callie Yarncroak was on the ice with Mikhail Granlund and Craig Smith because he's more defensively responsible than Kyle Turris. I mean, Peter Laviolette puts a lot of value on the guys that he can trust going out on the ice and being defensively responsible when you have the lead. And if this is a tight 2-1, 3-2 type series in the third period, which we would expect it to be, I think you might see more ice time because of that, because of the matchup and because of the style. More ice time for Sissons, Bonino, Watson, if it's not just equal.
I will be surprised if tonight you don't see significantly more ice time for Bonino, Sissons, and Watson than you do for that Turris line. Like, I'm talking like 11 minutes, 13 minutes kind of thing for that line, and 7 to 9 minutes for the guys on the other
one. Well, I kind of think that depends on how much time you're spending on the penalty kill versus how much time you're spending on the power play. Because you look at Granlund, Turris, and Smith, those are three guys that are primarily going to be playing on the power play when it comes to special teams. You look at Sisson, Benino, Watson, they're primarily on the penalty kill. So if you're taking a parade to the penalty box, then, yeah, those three are going to get more ice time because they're always out there killing penalties. If the Stars do that, then the second line will probably get more ice time.
Which line do you feel, if you're Peter Laviolette, which line do you feel gives you a better chance to score goals?
Score goals, the second line.
Right now?
Yes.
I don't know, man.
The chances that they've been generating in the last three games, all they got to do, and it is a tall task right now, is just finish. Finish. Like, they're getting opportunities. You look at the opportunity that they created, that Mikhail Granlund created with the spin move in Buffalo, had Kyle Turris wide open back door, and Turris flipped it. Like, they are getting opportunities. If they finish them, then absolutely, I trust that line to score more than the third line. Now, which line do I trust more to keep goals out of the back of their own net is the third line.
Okay, if the Preds lose tonight, Ryan Port's with us, what is the panic level? On a scale of 1 to 10.
Scale 1 to 10, I would want to see how it plays out. I mean, if Dallas comes in here and kicks their rear ends, then you're like, oh boy. Then Dallas is going to have a lot of confidence for a team that has already won in this building twice this season.
Let's say Dallas wins 3-2 in overtime.
I wouldn't say the panic level is very high. Now, the stats that you stated in the first segment of today's show would make you think maybe the panic level should be higher than that, considering the Game 1 winner in each of the last 13 playoff series the Preds have played in, the Game 1 winner has gone on to win the series, then maybe it should be a little higher than that, but that could be a little more coincidence than actual, you know, the reason why the series played out the way it is. I think if you're Nashville, you want to come out tonight, you want to feed off what you did in the last two regular season games in this building and throw the first punch in this series. You don't want to allow a rookie head coach with Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn, two very good players, to come in here and throw that first punch and you having to play from behind in the series starting Saturday. You want to set the tone like you did in 2017 in the first three rounds, win game one, and make them come
chase
from behind.
You,
yeah, make them chase the series and not you.
Key to the whole series is what?
I think you have to look at the goaltending, right? I mean, Ben Bishop has had a really good postseason career. Granted, it's only two postseasons, but he went to a Stanley Cup final and an Eastern Conference final in those two series, in those two springs. And then Pekka, he's been pulled six times in the last three playoff series that the Preds have played in. Now, he's had some really good games within those three playoff series. He's been very Jekyll and Hyde. Had some great home games against Pittsburgh, had some great road games against Winnipeg, and then vice versa. Like, what goalie are you going to get out of 35? He's been very good down the stretch. They need him to be that very good here in round one.
Six times in the last series, three series.
Although, again, a lot of that is because the coach has a quick trigger. I mean, the coach likes to pull the goal. This coach likes to – Laviolette, and it's always been his thing. You go back to that Philadelphia run, he is a quick trigger when it comes to that goalie.
Sometimes, yes, but there were some games in those three playoff series where it was just time to take him out, where the team was not playing well in front of him.
Yeah, but then there were other times, like Game 5 of the Cup Final, when they start the second period with Saros in net. I'm like, what are you doing? Well, that wasn't his fault. And if you're going to have a chance to get back into Game 5 of the Cup Final, you're going to do it with Rene. So some of those bother me, some of them don't. Ryan Porth, Preds Insiders, tonight at 6 o'clock, an hour and a half for Preds Insiders. Who's going to be joining you?
So Chase McCabe is going to be joining me here as my co-host for it's actually branded as Preds Extra tonight, Extra Pregame. So Chase McCabe, Chris Mason will be stopping by.
Oh, good.
Robbie Stanley will be stopping by. So the who's who.
All the big hitters.
All the big hitters.
Better guests than we have today.
That's good.
I mean, it's crazy. What's the difference between Preds Insiders and Preds Extra?
Not much.
Half hour.
So I always feel like that's the difference between, like, they're like, coming up, it's a special edition of SportsCenter with Todd McShay and Mel Kiper Jr., followed by NFL Live with Todd McShay and Mel Kiper Jr. I'm like, what's the difference? Like, we're going to talk basketball on the special edition of SportsCenter with Todd and Mel? No. It's all the same. Ryan Poyce, good to see you. Jared and the GM,
615-737-1025
is the phone number. If you're one of those Rock to Gold people, you definitely need to be listening up here in the next hour. Coming up next on the show, a hot take from NHL Network about Peter Laviolette. We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.